I was thinking of some dear brothers, some that I've fellowshipped with here, and I was thinking tonight their seat is empty. They have been called off the state of action and gone home to be with the Lord. I miss them, dear saints of God. But one day, there'll be a homecoming day when we can all meet at the top of the hill. We don't know whose seat is going to be empty next, who soon will be called. It behooves us all to count the cost, pay the price, endure whatever we have to endure, for it's just a little while and we're going to be somewhere else. Brother Roger will soon be gone. I'll soon be gone. I'll come through these doors no more. A lot of you that I look over this congregation, your hair, like mine, turn white. Won't be long. You'll be somewhere else. Somebody will have to carry on till Jesus comes. But I don't think that's going to be long. Our world's in a bad shape. Love seems like it's just so cold and so hard to get the minds of the people anymore. You can preach your heart out, talk to people from the Word of God, and it seems like it's just like a hard rain. It all runs off. But you know, we need to pray for God's Holy Spirit to season us and once again to open the windows of heaven and send us an old-time revival. We need a revival, folks. But I'm going to tell you, it's up to us. We're going to have to open our hearts and our minds and let God work with us. I want to speak to us tonight, but God being my helper, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and I know probably that Ben Preacher stood before you and they broke this bread to you before, done far much greater job than what I can do, but I'll do the best I can, but God being my helper. I want to take a verse here from the 4th verse of this chapter and read to you. Traitors, headed, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. I've often wondered, as I've pastored over the years and done revivals. I used to do 9 revivals a year. I don't do that anymore. But it didn't take seemingly anything to get people to leave out a revival, leave off their service, if there was an activity going on somewhere in the community. Folks, seem like the world has a way of attracting people. And the word seemed like it just, I don't know, seemingly it doesn't get a place in the heart wholly. You know, we need to give ourselves wholly to God, complete to God, that nothing can steal the time that belongs to God. We need to be close to God, love the church that God has instituted, support it, give our very best to the church that God has built. And it's up to us, folks. We're free moral agent. We can either live in a lukewarm condition or we can draw close to God, and He will draw close to us. Paul experienced much in his ministry. If you'll read after him, he had a great experience. And sometimes we may think, well, you know, he's reaping a lot of what he sowed. But he turned from sin and from the things of persecuting, wasting the church of God and all the saints that he had helped rest and brought them to the place of court, and then cinching, the stoning them to death, and many things that he done getting the church of God. But in his experience, after he was saved, he turned to study, and God revealed to him so plain this New Testament that's before us, the covenant of God. He saw the old, he wrestled for the old, but whenever God changed that man, he gave himself totally to God. And he laid down truth and preached truth. He suffered for the word of God. And in this day, he was experienced people that were traitors, that attrition in a way, they treated that, you might say, they give up against God. They sold out on God and forsaken God. If it's anything that burdens my heart, greatly grieves me and trouble me, see a person, get acquainted with them, love them, enjoy their fellowship. Sometime later, get up with them, and they've sold out on God. They've gone back on God. That is a hurting thing, brother, sister. That is treason. You see, there's people you know and I know that used to shout the victory of God, then throwed up their hands, sold out on God, and went the other way. That's so sad. Not only that, but he saw people hitting. There's people that's so high-minded, have a mind made up, mind of their own. And many a time you can get up with people and they say, well, what you think about it? That's not what I think about it. They got a mindset. You know, for God to do anything with people, you got to have an open mind. You got to have a mind to let God do some talking. And I think people need to stand still and listen for God to talk to them so they can hear from God, being headed, high-minded, strong in the things that they want to do, going to go their way, have their way, no matter what's said or done. Brother, sister, our world's in that shape today. People's headed out here in the highways and in the hedges today. And folks, you can find it everywhere you go. It's certainly here in our day and time. Unreasonable. No reason in their spirit. And you know, when we come so selfish, so self-righteous in our own way, that we justify ourselves for whatever we do, that's being headed and high-minded. You can see the fault of everybody else, but have no fault yourself. That's what it is. Being headed, high-minded, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Brother, sister, this world's inviting people today. She's got her doors open, and she's got a vacuum going, and she's pulling people in with the pleasures of this world today. And so many are going that way. Well, What's God doing about it? God is pouring out his judgment. We're under judgment preaching this day in this even light of time. And I know people think, well, and I hear it over and over, you're just judging me. I don't have to judge nobody. The word of God's done and judged it. All I've got to do is preach what God's word says about it. And so I don't know the people's heart. God knows the people's heart. I don't know how people live altogether on what I see, but God knows the intent of people's heart. And from the fruits I see, my brother, sister, that's going on in her world. But God knows, and his word is judging tonight. And it judges sin. It judges what's wrong. And it's pointing out what's wrong. And that you and I can make a choice to do right. So in Revelation, this 16th chapter and the last trumpet, the message that Jesus is sending forth. Now I want to just speak from this just a little while. In the 17th verse, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came out great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Vial is anointed preaching of the wrath of God, the judgment of God. What is the voice? The word of God is the voice of God. And he's pouring out his judgment. Where? On the air. I looked this word up, air. And Paul used it in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, when he was talking to them in about the 9th verse concerning beating the air in the 9th chapter, I think it is, and probably the 26th verse of that chapter, he called it beating the air. What does he mean? He used the word circumvents. In other words, you talk around, but you don't have no understanding to give us. You got a message. You should have an understanding in the message. That's what Paul was saying. You're beating the air whenever you don't. So what God doing? These preachers that come along, there's no understanding in it. Why? It is not a message from God. You got to have a real revelation from God, anointing from God. And God has got to season the message in order to edify and glorify the Son of God. You see, preaching that's just going around and not giving no understanding. We need a good understanding from the message that's being preached. You ever talk with people and they can talk to you seem like a half hour and they never did explain what they set out to explain? They go around it so you don't get the understanding. You see what I'm saying? Well, the Bible said this, you know a fool in a multitude of words. And I've seen people could talk and talk and never make no sense of what they said. And that's what Paul is saying. And this message that God has brought the judgment upon is whenever that he sees people that claims they are preaching for God, but yet they don't have the message of God. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't come with anointing. God's people have anointing upon them, and they preach with an understanding. They can explain the truth to you because God is the revelator of the message coming from God. So he pours his vial out upon the air. He lays down judgment, and there's a need for this in Revelation the 19th chapter. In the eventime, he said, because there's birds that are flying through the heavens. In the 17th verse of the 19th chapter, he said, and I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heavens, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. He said these were birds, and they were flying in the midst of heaven. Now the heavens that God is talking about is Ephesians 2:6. When he saves us, he raises us up to sit together in a heavenly place. And the church is a heavenly place. But brother, sister, as I said to you the other night, it ain't everybody that comes to church is gonna stay. They're coming church shopping, flying through. They're here a little while, up and gone. And you wonder where they went to. It's one of them birds from that unclean, a cage in Revelation 18. You see, they fly in the midst of the church, and you hear a few messages, and then you miss them, and you don't see them no more. They're called the bird that's flying in the midst of the heavens, and God is putting his judgment out to keep the church from getting tangled in that kind of a mess. Because sometimes those birds wants to make a nest in the church, and they're fowls, and they're unclean, and they're unholy. Jeremiah spoke of them in Jeremiah 5:27. He called them a house, a deceitful. In other words, they're unclean, they're unholy. Revelation says they're unclean, they're unholy. What's the word of God to do? It's warning us, it's judging everything that the church is doing. We are under the judgment of God. And so he wants his people to know, have the knowledge of what's going on among us. He wants to keep the church clean and holy and upright. And that's why the judgment preaching is put out. And brother, sister, if we're God's people, judgment preaching doesn't hurt us at all. It only gets a hold of those that they feel the wrath of God. And so you and I can shout while the truth is coming down, while other people maybe draw up again the truth or buck with some kind of spirit. But brother, truth tonight is Jesus Christ, and he's with his church, and he warns his church, and he'll keep his church while the birds are flying among the mist. Yes, he will. So we're in a very, very, very evil time in our day. We should be very thankful that God warns us and preaches to us. He'd been preaching in this 16th chapter, pouring out the vials of the wrath of God, and you can go down two X's and match them up there, how that God poured his wrath out down in Egypt. And then whenever we come up to the grace dispensation and God's judgment is being poured out. Why is God pouring out his judgment? He's dissatisfied. He's angry at sin and what sin is trying to do. He's watched over his church. He saw his church persecuted. He saw those who have ruined and destroyed and scattered the saints of God. And brother, he in this day and time is rewarding his church, and the judgment of God is being poured out on confusion, and the mess that's been made by human beings. God's judgment is coming down because we're in a world of great confusion and wrath today. Everywhere you go, everybody's got a little bit of religion, right? Everybody's justified. And everybody, you got your church, and I got mine. Well, I didn't know that. I know God's got one church. And I know there's one God. And I know another thing. There's just one power in this world, and that is an almighty power, an almighty God tonight. And so he is the one that we're serving tonight. Yay! Didn't Paul also saw that there was a seducing of sin in his day, and he warned Timothy about that, to tell the people that about that a seducing spirit. Brother, sister, people can be seduced and getting under the influence of something that they don't need allow to get a hold of them. We need to be sure of what we believe and have chapter and verse for what we believe, do we not? And so Paul warned them in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. He had this to say to him. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils." Did you know there's only one gospel? So Paul, when he went to Galatians, he told them, he said, "Though I are an angel, come from heaven and preach you any other gospel than I preached unto you, let him be accursed." That's a strong statement. Though I are an angel, come from heaven, preach another gospel that I haven't preached. Paul said there's another gospel, but it's not a gospel. So there's only one true gospel. Either preach the same thing that Paul preached, or else suffer a curse. Amen. Because you see, there's only one truth tonight. And it's not everything that comes along that said this is a gospel, because it ain't got good news. Good news is God saves from all sin. All sin is gone. Whenever the gospel gets a hold of you and you do an old time repentance, thank God, and you come up from sin's death and come up a new life, brother, sin's gone. And that gospel that Jesus had preached, brother, it'll bring you to old time repentance through death. It'll give you a quickened power and a generated power and resurrect you to a new life in Jesus Christ. Yet will there's a seducing spirit, doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. We just on every corner almost, there's a religion of some sort, some kind. I thought about Acts, I guess it is either the 17th or 19th chapter. Paul had been sending out aprons, handkerchiefs, praying for the sick, and they were being healed. And so no bun fixed Jew, he jumps up. He is exorcist. He is thinking, well, I run the devil off. And so the devil jumped up and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? I said, the devil laid one egg and it hatched. And he didn't even know what it was. That's how it is in our world today. Masked up confusion. Brother, if a house divided against itself, Bible said it won't stand. And so the devil jumped on him, stripped him of his clothes. He ran out of that. I want to tell you, folks, we no match for the devil without God. We must have God on our side, and we must have the truth on our side to put on the enemy tonight. And so, there's a seducing spirit. Many of them had a God. They hold to their God. St. John, whenever they're trying Jesus in the 19th chapter, and Pilate told him, take him, judge him by your God. They said, no, we can't. We don't have that kind of law. But, and they said, sire, we have Caesar as our God. You see, they had another God, but not the true God. Caesar never died on the cross. Caesar didn't have no burial resurrection. No other God that I know ever died and had a resurrection. There's just one God that died and had a resurrection, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He proved to the whole world that he is the Son of God. Yes, he did. And so he could not be masked. Well, there's sin everywhere. In 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul warned them in that chapter concerning what was coming, because people were neglecting the church and going out from the church, leaving the church of God, being scattered everywhere, and not giving up their place, and not holding to where they ought to be for God and loving God like they ought to. You know something? If the devil can scatter people and come in and make war on people and set up division, that's as good as he wants. He gets a place then. In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, in the third verse, he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who oppose, exalted above himself above all that is called God, that is worship, setting in the temple of God, showing himself as he is God. Now this is a man, and he's a man that is called sin. Well, if a man rolls dice, he's called a man of sin. If he gets drunk, he's a sinner, right? But this man goes into perdition. He's utterly lost, and he does something else. He exalts himself above God, and he sits in the temple of God. He exalts himself as if he's God. Didn't Christ tell him in the 24th chapter of Matthew that there'd be false Christs among them, false prophets among them? And then later this happens, this man jumps up and sets himself up. And the day Paul said, he used that word, let no man deceive you by any means. Brother, sister, we have power to keep people from deceiving us, or we can let it happen either way we want to go. You see, Paul warned them what is getting among them. I see people today that's worn out of the man that is called the Pope, and they're everywhere going after him today. He's not God. God never ordained him. God never lifted him up. God never exalted him. He exalts himself. Brother, sister, he's an antichrist. That's what he is. And you need to take heed of his doctrine and what he's done to the world today, and stay free and stay with the church of God. Yes, you had. Stay with the church of God. So that day won't come, except there come a falling away first. Who was he talking about falling away? Those Jews and people that Christ worked right among the church. And Constantine got up. And what did he do? He is a sun god worshiper. And he favored the people, got cunning, crafty with them, and oh, he's good man. He's good to us. Let me tell you something. The devil will pet you a whole lot to get you where he wants you to be. Yeah, don't you never think he won't. He's not ugly. No, the devil's not ugly. He's not running around with a red horns and a pitchfork. No, he is cunning. He's crafty. He's beautiful. He's attractive. And if you don't be careful, he'll slip right up on you. It shows you who you are. He has sweet words, kind ways, compassion. But when he gets you where he wants you to be, he'll tie you up. It shows you who you are. You need to be aware away. Brother, God's pouring out his judgment again this stuff tonight. Yes, he is. I know this is a revival, but I feel led to preach this. Why? Because we're living in the last days. We're living in the last hours. I believe Jesus is coming. I see the shape of our world. Never seen such a mess in my life. Going on today, young people dying in the streets and bloodshed. People's lost love, no more neighbors, friends. You don't know who you can trust. Seem like evil's everywhere, steady getting worse. People's lost seem like good sense of what's right. And it seems like they don't know that there is any wrong. But brother, they're still wrong. And they're still right. It shows you who you are. And if you want to go to heaven, you'd better do something about it. You'd better get right with God. If you're not saved, you'd better get saved. And if you're saved tonight, you'd better stay on the hallelujah side. You'd better read and pray and search, uphold God's church, and brother, get everybody else that you can and testify to them and tell them the truth that this world is in a turmoil, she's in a mess, and you need to come home to God. It's the only safe place for anyone to be today is be with the church of God. Why do you say church of God? Because there ain't but one. Everything else around it is built up by man. God built his church. God named it. I didn't name it. He puts them in, and if they sin, they get out. Amen. Ain't no sin in God's church. No, no, no. They can claim to the high heavens if they want to, but brother, there ain't no sin there. And God is showing the confusion and division. What did he do? He opposed the saints of God. He exalted himself above them at that worship God. And it was in Revelation, the 8th chapter, we see that mountain that God had built his church with, called Mount Zion. What did she do? She went down into the sea, which is Romanism. And when she went down, there was bitterness in there. Oh, yes, there was. Brother, the fire went out, and souls died, and bitter from the bitter there, murdered and killing. And brother, souls lost her soul because they lost out with God. I want to tell you, folks, we're in dangers tonight under the making of the eighth beast. That's coming up again, the church, again, the saints of God, and we need to be kingly aware. This power's not dead. It's much alive among the world today, a conflict in the church of God, and trying its best to pull down the saints of God. It's working everywhere it can work, and pulling down again, God, and we need to be aware of what's going on. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It won't be funny. It won't be funny if the government turns against us, and if they try to bring it under one head. And yet, if you try to resist, take it to the chopping block. It won't be funny. They did it before. They'll do it again. We need to take heed to God's wrath, God's judgment, to the truth that's being preached. Devil walk in here. He accused the message. He accused the message by. He'll say, oh, that's what he thinks about it. He's trying to get at somebody. He's trying to pitch his message on somebody. Well, let him say what he wants to say. You look in the book and see if it comes from chapter and verse. If it's chapter and verse, say amen to it. Set up straight with it. Walk with it. Praise God. For God's going to pour out his judgment, brother. And we're going to have to answer to the Lord. Shows you who you are. So if you're here tonight, you have a need. You get close to God. And sometimes people get a little lean in their life. Sometimes draw back just a little bit. Well, don't be ashamed. You're gonna meet God. Now's the time. This is the time to get close to God. Seek God with all your heart. Never be ashamed to pray. Never be ashamed to ask God to help you in your needs and in your problems. Ask God. He wants you to ask him, and he'll help you if you'll turn to him. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.